come to the place, to the one who raised from the dead. Oh, come and see the risen King.
Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this day as I share with you the things of the kingdom of God. It is my hope that in sharing, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you find life through the name of Jesus. Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you back once again this week. And I would like to get started once again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That is where we find what the gospel is. Some of you may be listening for the first time, and we find the definition of the gospel in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And here it is, the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel that you will hear on this audio. And that is the gospel in verse 1 that we are told to stand in and told to keep it in memory. Do you know if you don't keep it in memory, it's not going to work? You have to be diligent about keeping that gospel in memory, being diligent about believing God in every situation that comes your way. And I speak that very thing to myself as well. Let's look over at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not afraid to trust in it. I'm not afraid to rely on it. I'm not timid about trusting in it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I would like to get started with sharing with you today about a man named Charles. Charles was about 13 years old when he began playing music, and by the age of 14, he soon found himself playing in the nightclubs. By his 20s, he was trying to hold down his day job at the foundry making engine parts, as well as continue the nightclub scene playing music. He found he was unable to do both and keep up, so he looked to find a better way to do so. Although an occasional drinker, Charles was now beginning to drink the hard stuff, pop some pills, and smoke marijuana. He had seemed to find others along the way doing the same things, and it made it easier with what he was doing. It was a relief. Charles said, "It got to where I couldn't hold down my job. I ended up losing it, and I was asked to not come back. It got to where I couldn't even play music anymore. I had gotten so messed up. I started working odd and end jobs trying to make money." By now, he had come to the place where every day he needed to have a drink. Things seemed to be getting worse. There came a night when he was leaving a bar. He was so drunk. As he walked across the street to his vehicle, a car came out of nowhere and almost hit him. Charles said, "I wished it had hit me. I hated what I was doing, but I couldn't seem to let it go. It had such a hold of me." One morning, he got up, got him a good drink, smoked his marijuana, and decided to get in his vehicle, not knowing where he was going. He ended up in Muskogee, Oklahoma, near a lumber yard that headed toward the old fairgrounds. He saw a sign that read, "Cabinet Shop." He thought, "Shoot, I know how to do that." Years earlier, at one time, Charles had done some cabinet building, and he felt confident that he could do this job. He met a man there by the name of James Amos. After talking with him a bit, James offered him a job and asked when he could start. Charles was now living with his parents in Pahrump, Oklahoma. James suggested that since he came through there himself, he would just stop by and pick him up. They agreed that Charles' first day would be the following Monday morning. Charles said, "That Monday morning, I didn't drink or smoke. I don't know if it's because I didn't have anything or if I just chose not to." When Charles got there that morning, he saw a man that he knew from years ago who was a preacher, and he introduced him to some of his friends. Charles said, "All around me were a group of men who were all born again. I didn't have a chance." He had made it known he wasn't interested in the Lord and didn't want to hear about him. He wasn't even real to him, and he didn't need to hear about any of it. But God had not forgotten about Charles. And as time began to pass, things began to change. Every morning when Charles would go to work, he would watch this group of men from afar. They would often have donuts and their coffee in the mornings while sitting and discussing the things of the Lord. Charles said, "I would sit and watch these men. They looked so happy. My world was like night, so dark and dim. They seemed to have so much going for them. They would just sit and talk about the Lord, things I didn't even understand. And every day I started moving a little closer to hear what they were saying." Those men kept their word and never bothered Charles with the things of the Lord, but they didn't let his unbelief stop them from talking about the Lord Jesus they knew. One day, Charles decided he was going to ask them a question. He asked, "How do you get saved? How do you do that?" They shared with him that he needed to ask the Lord Jesus to come into his heart and how he will have to turn his life over to him. Well, that didn't make Charles jump up and do it right away. He had to consider what all that might mean. He sat on those statements for 4 to 5 months. He was still making some rounds at the nightclubs with the guys, but one evening he came home and decided he should try what those men he worked with were talking about. Maybe he should try the Lord. Charles said, "I went out by the hay barn my dad had. I asked Jesus to come into my life. As soon as I did, it was like warm water began at my toes, up through my legs, all through my body, to the top of my head. There was no one that could tell me after that I wasn't saved and that the Lord wasn't real." Charles said it was one of the biggest experiences he ever had in his life. He knew not everyone's experience was like that, and didn't have to be. But he also knew that the Lord had done what he needed to do to get Charles to believe him. But as soon as Charles had given his life over to the Lord, the devil soon showed up. A group of his buddies pulled up and wanted him to jump in with them so they could go do what they did best. Charles told them, "I can't go. I got saved." They replied, "Who'd you get saved from?" Charles went on to tell them, "I asked Jesus to come live in my heart." They began to laugh at him while continuing to tell him to get in and go with them. Charles got in, sat down, and they took off with him in the vehicle. It wasn't long before they ended up at a nightclub. Charles found himself in an all too familiar situation. I could keep hearing a voice saying, "You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this." But I gave in and began to drink. It didn't do a thing to me, though. It didn't seem to have the same effect on me it had before. A fight soon began to break out, and again Charles was hearing a voice continuing to talk to him. He finally decided this voice he kept hearing that night must be the Lord. The voice was telling him to leave. He trusted that voice and left. Charles said, "I was never told you could get saved. You could be born again anywhere. It didn't have to be in a church or at an altar. and I was saved that day at the back of my dad's hay barn. This man, Charles, is someone who I came to know many years ago by the name of Charlie when I became his daughter-in-law. And I have certainly come to appreciate Charlie's testimony as he's shared it with me and my husband over the years. And he was right. You didn't have to be born again in a church or at an altar. The Lord Jesus will meet every one of us right where we're at. And that day, he met Charlie at the back of his dad's hay barn. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And did you know that we can simply just ask the Lord Jesus to come be Lord of our life? We can say, Jesus, I believe you died for me, you were buried for me, and you rose again for me. And I'm asking you to come live in my heart and be Lord of my life. Well, Charlie went on to walk with the Lord, and at one time he began singing for that same man he went to work for all those years ago in the cabinet shop, Mr. Amos. And they, along with some others, recorded a record called Songs We Sing for His Glory. And here is one of those songs I would like to share with you, sung by Charlie Reese, called Too Many Times.
He never said there'd never be heartache, that never, as I recall. He never said the path was so narrow, but as I see a sparrow when it falls. Look back to it all. Our song may not hear it, and there's others that hear it. There's many who doubt that it's real, but I'm just a sample, a fleshly example, empty, but so he's filled. My life was so broken, but these words were spoken. Let body, let soul be healed. another can cause me to stray from His will.
Charlie's testimony was that when he said he was sitting there, that he ended up back in that bar, that the Lord Jesus was still talking to him. He didn't just let him go. He kept talking to him. Charlie was born again that day at that hay barn, and he could hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. And when we are born again, when we are saved, when we ask Jesus to come live in our hearts, we have access to the Father through the Lord Jesus. But we also have access to hear the voice of the Lord. And He will instruct us in our lives, and He will tell us where to go and what to do, and He will direct our paths. And there is nothing better in life than to be where the Lord wants you to be, and to go where He wants you to go, and to be doing what He wants you to be doing. I would like to begin today in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. And we talked about this last week. And we talked about how Jesus was a man. Jesus was just like you and me. And He heard the voice of God. And He did the will of God. And He got His instructions on where to go, what to say, what to do. And we have that same access to the Father through the Lord Jesus. We have that same access to get instructions for our lives and to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus and to hear the voice of the Father in heaven. Beginning in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, and this is talking about Jesus, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, that's you and me, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you know when things come upon you in your life, when you are faced with something? That right there in verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Do you know you can pray that name in faith and see results? And there have been many times when things have afflicted me or attacked me, I am saying in the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, I have prayed you will bow your knee, devil, in the name of Jesus. There is no other name given which is above that name. That name is above every name. Let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 14. Now remember, Jesus is a man, just like you and me, just like you and me, and he can hear the voice of the Father, and he had to walk out things in his own life. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We don't have one that can't be. We have one that can be. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That word infirmities is feebleness, disease, sickness, weakness. He's been where we're at. I talked about that last week. That's what he did on the cross. He took all that on his body. He overcame it all. And when we are born again, when Jesus lives in our hearts, we have that same authority over those things when we believe who's in us, when we believe on that name of Jesus. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know you have to come boldly to the Lord Jesus? You have to come believing. You have to come using your faith and come boldly to the throne of grace. We've shared before many times about the centurion or the woman that had the issue of blood or the woman that had the daughter with the devil. They came to the Lord Jesus, believing he was who he said he was, believing in that name of Jesus, believing that he walked in the power of God, and they had faith, and he responded to that faith. Let's go to John 3, 1 through 8. How do we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus? How are we born again? I shared about that a little earlier in Charlie's testimony, but let's look at it in the scriptures. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you want to hear the voice of the Lord, if you want to have him be Lord of your life and direct your paths and talk to you and instruct you and be the one that you learn to run to, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus. You're going to have to believe his death, burial, and resurrection. And you're going to have to confess him Lord and ask him to come be Lord of your life, to come live in your heart. And you will be able to hear him. And he will give you instructions. And he will tell you what to do and where to go. He'll tell you where the best job is. He'll tell you where to go get that car. He'll tell you whatever it is you need to know, but it's going to be you believing and you using your faith and every day taking up the gospel. It's not going to be, well, I received Jesus. Now let me go out and do what I want to do and then end up in a mess. John 3, verse 17. And I want you to look to see what Jesus came to do. John 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you know the Lord wants you to turn to him? He wants you to trust in him. He wants to be all you have need of. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And this is referring to the Lord, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And who is that? Look what it says. The man, Jesus Christ. The man, just like you and me, Jesus Christ. He did not make this impossible to be done. It is possible. He is a man. And he is our example. And he has given us everything to walk this walk. And we have to believe on him and believe what he accomplished on that cross, what he accomplished when he rose from the dead. And when he is in us, when we have received of him and he lives in us, then we have access to it all. And we can walk in those things of the kingdom of God. But you have to believe. You have to keep it in memory. Verse 6, who, Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This next song I would like to share with you is ministered here by the My Girls. And it is out of Psalm 51, and it is called Create in Me a Clean Heart.
Rise, be ready.
the Lord Jesus came to live in my heart and be Lord of my life. It was one of the most precious things to me because He met me right where I was at. And it could have been the simplest of things that He began to speak to me where I learned to hear, that's the Lord talking to me. And I learned to take instruction from Him. And I learned to be corrected from Him. And one of those things that He did for me was a time when He spoke to me and gave me some instruction. And I shared with you last time how God began to separate me from everyone to where I came to a place of where I only looked to the Father in heaven, to where I only looked to the Lord Jesus. Well, I had a friend who was actually my great-grandmother, and I spent many days getting off the bus, going to her house, and she was really my friend, and she shared things with me that she didn't always tell everyone else, and I was her friend. And when God began to separate me, she didn't understand that. She just believed I was wrong in the decisions I was making. And it was hard because I loved her and I knew that I was breaking her heart. I don't know if she ever knew, but my heart was breaking too. But I knew that I had to believe what I was doing was right, and I had to trust God that no matter what happened, to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus. But there became those years I didn't see her, and I may have only spoken to her once or twice on a telephone call, and they didn't turn out very good. We would always seem to come to the things of the Lord, and it could cause an argument, and it was just easier. It became easier for me to keep my distance because I didn't want to hurt her anymore, and I didn't want to fight with her, and I didn't want to hurt anymore. Well, one day I was teaching, and it was maybe late February or early March. I still remember where I was. I was turning to put my books on my desk, and it faced the window. And as soon as I was putting my books down, I heard the Lord say to go see your Mimi. And Mimi was what I called her. And I immediately said, I don't want to. And I heard the Lord say, you need to go see her. And I said, I'll just go this summer. I just thought if I could just put it off, I'll just go this summer. And that's how I responded. And He said, there won't be time. You need to go now. And I knew it was the Lord talking to me. And I'll just tell you, I sat there probably like a whiny baby thinking, oh man, I don't want to go. It was because I didn't expect anything good to come out of it, and it was easier to avoid it. I'd come to the place where I knew when the Lord was talking to me. And I went home and I told my husband, I'm going to go see Mimi. I believed it was right to go. We were coming up on a spring break. So I was talking to the Lord and I was just saying, Lord, okay, I'm going to go on spring break, but I don't know what day to go on. He gave me instructions to go, and I believe it was on a Monday. And I didn't want to go on a Monday because it was going to be the first day we were out of school. I wanted to put it off as much as I could, but I knew it was right, go on a Monday. So on my way down to see her, which was a little over an hour drive, I was just praying and I was talking to the Lord about some things in my heart, about why He was sending me down there, knowing that there had to be a reason why it was important that I go now and not wait. I wanted to know, one of the things that came up in my heart was Mimi born again? Had Mimi ever believed and received the Lord Jesus to live in her heart? I didn't dare tell anyone that I was going to ask her that because everybody assumed she was, because of her reputation in the community, because of how active she was with her church. But that does not mean that you're born again. That does not mean that you're going to heaven because you showed up every Sunday, or that you played the piano every Sunday and attended church. And I had someone recently tell me that, and that no, we just read in Romans 10. I went down there and we began talking, and eventually I got up the nerve to ask her. I had spent so many years down there, and it amazed me that this conversation had never come up. And I really wanted to know. I had to know because you know what? I didn't want to sit there one day at her funeral and have to assume because of her reputation. I wanted to know and I needed to know. I asked her, I said, Mimi, can I ask you a question? And she said, yes. And I said, are you born again? Have you received the Lord Jesus? Her face said enough because she was a little taken back that I had asked her that question. And she said, well, honey, I'll have you know I hammered those nails out there at that church all those years ago. And she began to tell me about that. And she said, is that what you're asking? And I said, no. And she said, well, I'll have you know. And she went through a series of these things, of all these things she did. I think one was how many times of how she never missed a Sunday or never missed all these times of church. And she would say, is that what you're asking? And I would say, no. And within my heart, I sat there and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't fight with her and I'm not going to push this with her. All of a sudden, she pointed her finger at me and she said, are you asking me if I've received the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior? And I said, yes, Mimi, that's exactly what I'm asking you. And she said, yes, I have. And from that moment on, there was an ease in that room. There was a peace in my heart. And we had the best conversation, the best afternoon that we had had in years since the Lord began to separate me. It was a most precious time. I also appreciated that the Lord Jesus knew what day to go, and that's why he told me, because she also mentioned how that day was the only day that no one was going to be in her house, that there was not going to be a cleaning lady coming or a person coming to help her do some other things. Every day was going to be taken up except for that day. And I knew that I had heard the Lord. And I left that day knowing and believing that that would be the last time I saw her, because I knew what the Lord Jesus had spoken to me. And he told me there wouldn't be time in the summer. I looked at her, took in every inch of her that I could, and I said, I'll be seeing you and I love you. And I left, and within 3 weeks, the Lord Jesus took her to heaven. So I encourage you, if you don't know him, try him, and you won't be sorry. To do what Romans 10:9 says, to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and confess him, Lord. I would love to hear from you also. If you have believed the Lord Jesus, and you have received him, and you have become born again, I would love to hear from you. Or if you have a testimony of the power of God working in your life, stay tuned and you will hear how to contact me. Until next time, God bless. Thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear from you. You may email me at mistyreesewateroflife@gmail.com. That's MISTYREESE, wateroflife@gmail.com. Or you may write to me at Misty Reese, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086.